Praise the Lord. He can work the those you place, yeah. Praise the Lord. For our God in our habits, praise the Lord. For the chain that seemed to bind you, they serve only to remind you. They draw powerless behind you.
Thank you. Amen.
The Holy Spirit to rain down. It's always yes, good to know that the Lord is in control of everything. Amen.
Amen.
So we just praise Him this morning. We go ahead and let the musicians go to their seats. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Good to be back with you. I wanted to thank the Blacks and the Wheelers for taking care of everything while I was away last weekend.
Amen.
And so we had a little time to rest and fellowship, and it was a nice weekend for us. I was a little bit under the weather, but the Lord still managed to bless me okay. So I want to thank everyone for taking care of everything while we were gone. I understand that the service was good and everything went well. And so I just want to pat each one of you on the back for staying at your post of duty. And so we thank the Lord for that. Just want to remember Brother Daniel, as the request was a little while ago. I knew the Lord was going to do some really great things, and probably we won't know until we get into eternity the things that really the Lord does on this trip. But just remember, as Brother Tim said, Brother Daniel will be getting pretty tired by about now, preaching at least 2 services a day and traveling and so forth. So we want to remember our brother. I know he'll be tired and need to rest up when he gets back. So we just ask the Lord to give him a safe return.
Yes, amen.
Amen. It's good to have the Martins with us today. God bless you.
Amen.
I want to open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I think all the scriptures we've read, they're going to read today, and even the quote that I quote today, I think we probably used in the last few services at some point or another. But we're going from a different perspective today. So you pray for me. The Lord will just bless my voice, and we will pray and get ourselves out of the way and let the Lord take over here in just a moment. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh," and we do not war after the flesh. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Also, so go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. She has it up on the multimedia screen. "But ye are," and this is what you are.
Right.
"Ye are a chosen generation."
Yes, sir.
Who chose you? Did you choose yourself?
Yes, sir.
"You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people."
Right.
Right? A peculiar. Everybody wants to fit in, but you know what? God said He don't want you fitting in here, right?
Right.
"But you're a peculiar people that..." Now think about it. If you're not any of these things, then you can't do this next part, right? But if you are these things, you can do this next part. "That ye should show forth praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light."
Amen.
"Which in times past were not a people." We Gentiles were not a people, right? At one time it was to the Jews only. "But now are a people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now hath obtained mercy."
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you have mercy?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your blessings upon us. To know, Lord, that You're here, that You order the footsteps of Your people, of the righteous. And God, that You're present here this morning to speak to the hearts of Your people and to build them up in the faith, Lord, to impart Your words into their hearts that they might live by faith each day. They would overcome their enemies each day by faith. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings upon us this morning. We pray that You'd be with us, and everything that's said and done, this service would be anointed, Lord, by Your Spirit, that Your Word would come forth, and that each heart would receive, Lord, as You would have them. We thank You, Lord, for each one that are here this morning. We just ask, God, for a special blessing to each one,
yes,
that they'd be filled up, Lord, today in faith and in the Word before they leave. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, I thought to myself, based upon the title of the sermon this morning, and I thought to myself, I'd really like for Brother Tim to sing this song called Praise the Lord. Because there is a second verse in there that I really like where it says, Satan is a liar. Because he wants to make us believe
right.
we're paupers. Right?
Yes,
but
sir.
We're really children of the King. And I thought to myself, because I'm going to speak to you about nobility this morning. And I was thinking, I'd really like Brother Tim to sing that song, but I'm not going to ask him to do it. I don't do that. I don't go that and say, well, this will go with the service this morning, so I'm going to ask Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so to sing a song. I don't do that. But in my heart, that's what I had hoped. Well, Brother Tim didn't sing that song this morning because Brother Colby did. And so, praise God.
Amen.
That's why I said, I'm glad to know, you know, because you know, a minister needs a little bit of nudge from the Lord to say, I'm with you. What I've put on your heart, this is what I'm going to give to you. This is for your people. And every once in a while, we need to come along and say, hey, I'm right here behind you. I got your back on this. I'm asking you to do it. And so I put this on your heart, so I'm going to show you that I'm here with you.
Yes,
so I'm going to talk to you this morning about nobility. You'll find out in the scriptures that the believer is to cast down everything, every imagination, as we saw there, every thought, anything that would come along that exalts itself against Christ, or I'm going to say it this way, that exalts itself against the Word of God in your life, we are to cast that down. We're cast it completely out. And so as I remember hearing Brother Branham say that as long as it agrees with the Word, that's fine. But if it disagrees with the Word, then you cast it out.
Yes.
And so that's one thing about going to college. It's okay to go to college, but when college begins to disagree with the Word of God, you need to cast it to the side.
Right.
And it's okay for you to go and run with your friends, but when your friends begin to deny the Word of God, you need to cast that to the side and stay focused on the Word.
Yes.
And so you can use the computer and you can use the phone to serve God, and as long as everything that you're doing serves God and agrees with the Word of God, you can use that. But when it begins to not to, you need to cast that to the side, right?
Amen.
Cast it out. Because it doesn't belong in the ranks of the believer, right?
Yes.
So there's certain things that should be rolling through our head. The thoughts and the words of God, not the thoughts and words of man. And so we know that we need to cast those things down, and that's what the scripture said. And I'm going to read you a quote, which I've read recently from Brother Benham about these things. And it's called, in the sermon, Greatest Battle Ever Fought. And Brother Benham said, Satan's army brings disease, and God's army is commissioned to cast them out.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There you are. Every time Satan throws anything onto you, God's army is to cast him out. Amen.
Yeah.
Cast out. That's the very tactic that God used. Satan used an army of destruction to disbelieve God's word and set him up a better kingdom than Michael had, and God cast him out. Right? That's what happened. God's method is to cast out devils, cast down reasoning, cast down superstitions, cast down worry, cast down diseases, cast down sin. Amen.
Amen.
Right? Here's what I want you to focus on. You're above it. You're above it.
Yes, sir.
You're resurrected in Christ Jesus, sitting in heavenly places, and every devil under your feet.
Amen.
That means that you're on a different plane than he is because he's under your feet. So you cast him down. He doesn't belong up here where you are. Superstition, doubt, and all those things don't belong up here where the believer is, and you're to cast him out of the domain of your heavenly places. You put it that way. So God cast him out of heaven. God says you're not allowed up here anymore, and we should do the same thing. The same thoughts that once we had in our mind, we've got to cast down because they don't belong there anymore.
Right?
Because we're believers now.
Yes, sir.
So we want to cast those things down. And he said that you are above it. In other words, they are beneath you. Now I say that because it made me think of nobility. People who are born in royalty. And so someone who is born in nobility or has nobility, they're a birth of nobility. They have a purpose, and we're going to kind of talk about what that is here in just a moment. But so we also read in the scriptures there where we are, as the scripture said, we are a royal priesthood, right?
Yes,
we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and those sorts of things. Now, how many remembers the story that Brother Branham tells about the slave buyer? And the slave buyer wants to go buy this plantation, and he's going to buy a slave. And while he's standing there watching the slaves, he sees one particular man who does not act like the slaves. He conducts himself very well. He has his chin up. He's not down in the molly grubs. He's happy. And he doesn't have to be beat to get him to go do what he's supposed to do. You don't have to threaten him. He's happy. He's a good example for all the other slaves. And so the slave buyer said, "What? I want that one. I want that particular slave." And the owner said, "Oh, no, he's not for sale. That one I'm keeping."
Right.
And he said, "Well, I notice he acts so well. What do you do differently? What is it about it? Because, you know, he's a slave. You're his slave owner, and he's in bondage, and just like all the rest of the slaves. But you must treat him differently because, look, he acts totally different." And the man said, "No, don't treat him any different. He has the same trials. He has the same troubles. He eats the same food the rest of them do. He works hard out in the sun all day just like the rest of them do. I don't treat him any different." The man said, "Well, what, there's got to be something different. Why does he carry himself so well even though he's in this condition?"
Right.
And the owner said, "Well, I wondered about that myself. And so I got to inquiring about it, and I found out that over in Africa where he come from, his dad is the king of a tribe. And he knows that. He knows that he's the son of a king. Regardless of his situation, he knows that he is the son of a king. And therefore, he conducts himself like the son of a king. He conducts himself like royalty because he is royalty."
Right.
The condition that you're in, that he was in, had nothing to do with that. He was by birth, right? By nobility, he was of the royal seed line.
Amen.
And so he conducted himself that way. Amen. So Brother Branham tells us, because we're here in this world, as it were, slaves to this flesh and that sort of thing. But we know that we are come from a birth of our Heavenly Father. And we're going to conduct ourselves while here, knowing that we are children of the King. And that's why I wanted him to sing that song this morning. Because we are children of the King. And he wants us to think that we're something that we're not. That we just have to bow down to his system. And we don't.
Right.
And so, nobility. The definition of nobility. A privileged. I'm just a Southern, okay? Sometimes these words I can't say very good, but a privileged class holding hereditary titles. A privileged class. I can't say that word, or it doesn't sound like it's, I'm saying it right. A privileged class of people that holds hereditary titles. Titles that are given to them by birth.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's nobility. And so it's also the quality of elevation of mind. In other words, the proper mindset, a higher level of thinking, the elevation of the mind, and an exaltation of character, ideals, or conduct.
Uh-huh.
So it's speaking of someone who has a class, and it, because of the class that they're in, they have a different thinking. Everything about them is different. Right? So that's the class of nobility. And so they're a privileged class of people that's given to them because of their birth. So now if we think about in some of the countries where they have kings and queens, and you know, you can just imagine that because we're not familiar with those things, but you read the stories and you know what you read in the Bible and those sort of things. But when, you know, when someone is born a son of a king, he's next in line.
Yes, sir.
That's all there is to it. He just by birth. He didn't come into the world and say, "I want to be king." He just naturally, by birth, by his nobility, it's given to him. And because it's that position is given to him. What position is it that's given him? His position is to be leader over the entire kingdom someday.
Amen.
His position is to be leader, and all the subjects of the lower class of people that are beneath him. He is actually their protection and their ruler. And everything that he does and says when he becomes in power, it is going to make a difference whether or not another king comes in and destroys all them people. So he's their protection, and you want him to be a virtuous person, someone who can lead well. You want him to be taught well. You want him to have all the balances a good balance of judgment and those sort of things, that's the kind of person you want to be on the throne above you. Because if he makes one or two wrong decisions, you're over with.
Right.
Right? So person born of nobility, they're because of their birth, they're in that class, and because they're in that class, they get different teachers than the rest of the people get.
Right?
Yes, sir. They get different instructions. They're required to walk differently. They have a different discipline in their life, a much higher discipline in their life than everybody else. Now, keep in mind, this person who's got it a lot harder because they've got to learn these things right, they have to have a standard much higher than the common people because they're going to be the protection of the common people.
Right?
So they have to have different teachers. They have to think things differently, and they have to conduct themselves differently. And so you find out that they don't dress the same, they don't act the same, they don't look the same as the common people.
Sure.
They have responsibilities the common people don't have. Right?
Yes, sir.
They have authorities that the common people don't have. They have those authorities because they are raised right. They don't just marry anybody, they marry into nobility. They marry into the class of people that they're to be. And I realize that everything can be perverted, right? And that's what mostly happens throughout the world. They have wicked kings and they do all this stuff, but they're still in a class of people above the rest, and they put everybody in bondage. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a class of people that don't put everybody else in bondage, but is out there as an example and a protection and an interceder and a holy priesthood, right? A holy nation, a royal priesthood, standing out there on behalf of those who don't have the same revelation you have.
Right.
That don't have the same discipline. And so they have different teachers, and they have authority that's given to them because of this discipline, and they've got to be able to use authority and have authority, yet be diplomatic. Right?
Uh-huh.
This is why they have to teach it. In other words, they have to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove.
Right?
That's the kind of people they have to be. So they cannot be occupied. They cannot be occupied with all the stuff that the common people are occupied with. Because if they sit around and they think about all the things the common people think about it, and they talk about all the things the common people talk about, and they do and go to the places all the common people go, they're not acting like nobility, nor would they be able to handle the stresses of being in that position of leadership if they're spending all their time down here with the common people.
Right.
Now, I'm not trying to define some segregation of class between Christians and the world. That's not what I'm trying to talk about. I'm just talking about the characteristics of a believer being born of nobility.
Yes, sir.
He cannot spend his time doing the things the world does. He cannot spend his time going to the places they go to and thinking the things they do and talking about the things they talk about. And spend their time visiting the websites they visit. You can't spend your time if you're born of nobility. If you want to do a good job of leadership and conduct yourself like royalty, you can't be like the rest of the slaves in this world.
Right?
Right? We have to be different. And so because it's given to us, and this is given to us by our birth. Right? Not our physical birth, you read between the lines. Our spiritual birth has placed us as sons and daughters of the King. We are of a noble class.
Amen.
And therefore we have to conduct ourselves differently. So we get different teachers than they get. We get Malachi 4.
Right.
We get a prophet that comes down. Our discipline in the Word is totally different than what they have out there in the world.
Right?
Our dress should be different. It is. That's, if you follow the teachings, if you follow the class of nobility, we don't dress like them. We don't act like them. Nothing of the common people shall be found in our ranks.
Right. Yes, sir.
Right?
Right.
Now, so when Brother Branham says, it's beneath us. We're above that. Right? We're above those things. So we cast down reason. We cast down all these things. We're above it. That's beneath us. So when I read that, that's what come to mind is a class of nobility. There are certain things, the common thing, the thing that the common people are struck with, that's not to be found in our ranks. They might walk in unbelief. They might walk in doubt. They might walk in all these things and worry and all that, but it's not to be found in the class of nobility. That's not what we are to be occupied with. We're to be in a realm of faith.
Amen.
Faith in the Word, what God said. And if anything comes across our pathway that's contrary to the Word, we cast it out.
Right.
Because It doesn't belong in our ranks. You let somebody try to sneak their way into the palace of the king, and he gets discovered. What happens to him? He gets cast out.
Yes, sir.
Probably he might even get killed.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So the concept here is that these things, what Brother Brown said, we are anointed. We are a class of people like our Father. We are to cast everything out of our domain that doesn't belong here. And that's, he gave the list of all those things. Cast down imaginations. And so he said, let me read him to you real quick. He said, cast down reasoning, cast down superstitions, cast down worry, cast down disease, cast down sin. So anything, as the scripture said, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you cast it out.
Right.
And I want you to think of that, of the concept that we are children of the King. We live in the palace in heavenly places. We're high up on the hill in the palace. We live with the King in His Word. And these things that the common world are struck with, has got them bound down, they don't belong up here in the palace with you and me and our King.
Amen.
Our husband.
Amen.
We're the bride of Christ. You see, we're married to Him. So we live a life of nobility, and we have to shut those things out. And you know what? When somebody comes up in the palace that doesn't belong there, who casts them out? Is it the man? Is the common people who do it? No. It's the people that belong there that cast them out.
Right.
So you're not going to expect Satan just to leave you alone someday. You've got to cast him out.
Right.
And it starts right here with reasoning. So what is it that happened in the garden that Satan got against Eve? Reasoning. She reasoned with the word because she, Brother Graham, she just stopped for a moment just to hear what the serpent said. He said, don't you stop for nothing. Don't listen to anything he says.
Right.
The first thing that comes across your pathway that's contrary to the word, cast it out. Don't let it be in your mind. Don't let it be before you. Don't let it be in your homes.
Right.
Cast it out. And that's what you want to do. These things are given to us by our birth, so we're born of a noble class and nobility. We cannot be occupied with the common, the things that the common world are occupied with.
Yes, sir.
Now this is Satan's Eden.
Uh-huh.
And in Satan's Eden, he's got everything so sharp, so finely tuned, finely honed, so he can cut so easy.
Yes, sir.
So easy to get tripped up. He's got his hands in everything just about. The only thing he doesn't have his hand in is the Word of God that has come in this day. He can't touch that.
Amen.
But he's got his hands in politics. He's got his hands in medicine. He's got his hands in every mindset that's out there. And he controls every government in the world, right?
Right.
You can say, well, he doesn't control the Israeli governor or whatever. But he is in control of the governments of this world. And yes, you can plainly see that he is because of what they're doing. The Christian is coming into the crosshairs like never before. Because the same devil that did those things way back when, he's still the same devil. He can't repent. And that same church system that did those things back in the dark ages is the same one today, because he gave her a space to repent and she repented not. So she's got the same heart within her. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. Everything's the same, and the believer is the same. So the battle that started in heaven is exactly the same battle it's going to carry out right here,
right,
just like the scripture said it would be. But while these things are going on, we are to be that noble class.
Amen.
We're not to be found in those things that weigh them down. Because if we spend our time down there in those things of the world, then we're not going to be a very good ruler, not a very good, example of Christianity. And just like he said to the last church age, to them that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me on the throne. I want to sit with him.
Yes, sir.
I want to be there with him. And I can tell you exactly what spirits are going to come up before me, because I have to fight them here. By the way, if you want to be able to cast a spirit out there and put him into eternal damnation, into fire, if you want to do that then, how are you going to do that then if you don't do it now?
Uh-huh.
Because death doesn't change us, right? So what we are here, we're going to be there. And if spirits have control of us here, other than the Holy Spirit, then they'll have control of us there.
Right.
We've got to have these things under our feet now. These devils that we have fought for years and we just kind of play around with them knowing it's not right and halfway repent and kind of halfway walk in victory over them. We've got to come to the place where they are totally, completely under our feet 100% of the time, because that's the kind of character that it takes to be there. And remember, character is a victory. It's not just something that's given to you. It's a victory. So you know what you fight. You know what comes before you each day, and you've got to learn to cast that thing down. Cast it out. It starts with your imagination. The greatest battle ever fought right here, the reasoning that takes place. Cast those things out. Don't reason it. Just speak the word of God. Jesus did it as an example. He showed you the word is what you do. You go to the word when Satan comes against you. You don't have to sit and think about it and try to figure out, well, if this and if that, but I would, but God doesn't love me, or I would, but I made a mistake yesterday. You're reasoning it.
Right.
You can't reason with it. Take the word of God and just commit yourself to God and say, you know what? I may have made a mistake, but my God and my Father knows how to correct me. I'm still His child, and it has nothing to do with the class that I'm born in. I'm of a noble class. And my Father will correct me. He'll give me the tutors I need. He'll give me the Holy Spirit. He'll send me a prophet to tell me the truth in this last day, because I'm in that class of people.
Right.
Well, if He wants to train you for that, He's got something for you to do someday. And he does. So what I'm saying on that for is, because we rock along and we go to church and we're learning, and I hope you're ever learning. I hope you don't fall in that place where it says ever learning but never able to come in all the truth. I hope that you're learning and gaining and that you are getting character, because someday He's going to put you out there to rule.
Right.
And we've got to get this thing under our feet now.
Amen.
You know, Brother Rem says, you know, the message, he said, you've got to, you can't just sympathize with the message. Well, I guess it's right. You've got to receive it. You've got to embrace it. You've got to take it in. You can't just say, well, I guess so. You got to say it's right and pull that into your heart and become that message. And that's the same way it is. You can't just say, well, I really shouldn't have this in my life. You can't sympathize with the devil. You've got to destroy him.
Right.
Take the sword of the Spirit and absolutely hack him to pieces. Don't let him be around your house like a pet anymore. That's what we've got to do. Because I don't want him around me as a pet. Throughout eternity. He wouldn't be to begin with, but you understand what I'm saying.
Right.
We've got to cast these things down. And I don't care what it consists of. If it's not in the Word, cast it out. Well, you know, you're going to be sick. Where's that in the Scriptures? You've got to have this devil hindering you all the time. Where's that in the Scriptures? You understand what I'm saying? If it's not in the Word, then you cast it out. And so, those things that belong to a lower class of people, and they don't belong up here in the class of nobility. And so is it with the believer. Doubt does not belong up here. Right? Doubt does not belong up here. Unbelief does not belong up here. Superstition. You know, he used that word, superstition.
Uh-huh.
It does not belong up here. We should not be occupied with those things. Those are things that belong down there in the class of people that's not in this class. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It belongs to them. And so we need to cast down the doubt and unbelief and any superstitions and anything that Satan wants to put on us. Anything. God's church is commissioned to cast them out.
Uh-huh.
But you don't just play around and say, well, I guess I think he should go. What do you think? You think that we need to make the devil go? No. Do you think that, you know, a judge is like, well, I know I got this hammer, and I know I could convict this guy. I don't know, you know. Is that the way they act? No, a man that's got authority uses that authority because he knows who he is. Now, if you doubt who you are, you probably, well, I don't know. But the point is we're showing you by the word of God that we belong in that class, or else you wouldn't have the tutor that you got.
Right.
You wouldn't have the understanding that you have of the word. Hey, I'm not making myself or you to be anything that God's not making you.
Right.
I'm telling you what he says. And the fact that his program has delivered to you a prophet, and you know more about the Word of God than the most trained, learned people out there when it comes to true revelation of God. They can work circles around you if you come to the letter of the thing.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But a people that's God's apple of his eye, they certainly have his correction and his touching hand to move and guide them, and so that they come out what he wants them to be.
Yes, sir.
And so he sees to it, because it's a work that he's doing. It's not a work we're doing. It's a work that he's doing. And so anything that comes along, I don't care what it is, anything that comes along that's contrary to the word of God, cast it down. Cast it out.
Yes, sir.
Now, we've read the scripture that says it. We've got an end time prophet saying the same thing. The greatest battle ever fought. Anything that comes your way, you've been commissioned to cast it out.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
So what he said. And so anytime the devil comes and puts anything in front of it, you cast it out. So Jesus did that. Just Satan come to him and said, you're hungry. You know, turn these into bread or whatever. He says, it's written. He didn't fall for Satan's tricks. He said, it's written, right? And so you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so Jesus showed us that just simply on the basis of the word, that you can defeat the devil every time.
Right.
And so that's why Brother Graham said that if you confess, he's the high priest of our profession, the scripture says. So if you profess or agree with the word, and you'll speak with your mouth agreement to the word, he's that high priest. He hears that and he says, glory. They just agreed with my word. They just confessed me as their healer. They're dying with cancer, and they confessed me as their healer. Now I can go to work on behalf of that. I'm a high priest as an intercessor based upon their confession.
Right.
And so once you do that in agreement with the word, then he takes that, and he's going to go intercede on behalf of you because of that. Right? Is he going to fail?
No, sir.
See? Because once you do that, you've obligated God to his own word. But you can't just halfway. You got to be packed with it. And when the scripture says something, you agree with it, then he has to go to work on it. And that's why Brother Webb said that God will make your body line up with your testimony.
Right.
Now, if your testimony is negative, your body's going to line up with it. And if your testimony is positive, he will make your body line up with your testimony, and there might be a little time, and he doesn't say how long. Sometimes it's instant, sometimes it's not. But the point you've got to be is like Abraham. Well, glory to God. It might have been 25 years, but that just makes it that much more of a miracle when God heals me of this, or God does this, or God does that, whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? It's just going to be that much more of a miracle when God comes through, even if I've had to wait 10 years or 15 years or whatever it might be. God's still going to do it because his word says so. That's where you need to stand.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. So when the devil comes along and tries to tell you something, you say, boo, devil.
Right.
That's what you tell him. Boo, devil. It's like that. I really like this because this is what I'm meditating on, and I stick a tape in and start listening to it, and Brother Bram tells the stories that I'm sitting here meditating on. And he tells about this guy having a dream. I can't remember the name of the guy, but and the devil's coming at him and saying boo, and every time he does, he gets littler and the devil gets bigger. He didn't have nothing, didn't know what to do. And at some point, he started saying boo to the devil himself. And when he did, the devil got smaller and he got bigger. So he says, boo, devil, again. Now, you could say that sounds like fun, that sounds like some joke or something like that. But a vindicated prophet told us that.
Yes, sir.
And there are testimonies in the midst of the message where people were facing tremendous trials and walked into a situation that said, boo, devil. Walk into a hospital room with somebody laying there, a loved one laying there about to die, and walk in the room and say, boo, devil. We've got to be that way. I told my Aunt Mary Wednesday night, we had supper together. She said she was having trouble with dizziness. I hope it's okay to tell this. I said, just say boo, devil. She looked at me and said, boo, devil. She must have said, whoa, not me. Don't say it to me. I'm not the devil. But just say boo, devil. And you just back him up. Boo, devil. It's written. By his stripes I'm healed. It's written, boo, devil. And just grab the scriptures and start backing him into a corner. And before it's over with, he'll be about that big.
Right.
And you'll be like a skyscraper. Why is it that way? Because you're using the right tools. You're going about the battle the right way. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not what our battle is. But our battle is spiritual. Our battle is to deal with spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is just like Brother Branham when he would deal with the cancer. He wasn't trying to cut the cancer out. He was speaking to the spirit behind the cancer. He was dealing with the spiritual wickedness in high places. And when he addressed that, the life of this demon had to die, had to go out. And this is what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
We don't go out and physically grab hold of something and make it leave, but we address the spirit behind it, because by faith in the words and the promises of God, we can meet that devil head on and say, boo, devil, with the word, and he has to back down. But it's not going to happen if we just sympathize with it and sit around and play around. We're in a battle. Right? We're in a battle. We've got to fight. We don't sit out there and say, well, I'll just kind of wave my sword around a little bit. You're not going to do that. If that guy's standing there with a sword and you're with a sword, you're going to do your best to cut his head off first swipe. I know that sounds terrible, but it's truth. We've got to take the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and, the whole armor of God, and use that. So we want to say boo, devil, and use the right tools. Now, I'm very serious about this morning, because we live in tremendous times. And I don't have time to cover it all, and I'm not trying to be a shocker or some scare or nothing like that, but we live in the hour that every service we come together might be the last one we can have together because of the things that are and that are moving. We've got to hold it that way. I love you people. I sit around and think about you and the fellowship we have and how we're going to spend eternity together. And there's forces on this earth that want to drive us apart, not let us come to the house of God, make us unbelievers. And our only hope is Jesus Christ. We'll not be kept unless he keeps us. But he's promised he will keep us. And no government, no power, no system, no monetary system can ever take that away, what God has given us in Christ Jesus. Because we live in a class of nobility.
Right.
That we've been taught right. We've been instructed right. We act right. I hope we do. We dress right. I hope we do. We have the right things going through our mind day after day. I hope we do. And I'm saying that because if you don't, this would be a good time to repent and get that way. Especially this time of year around Easter. I have high expectations that I'll wake up next Sunday morning in the fields of glory with you. Not saying it has to be that way. I'm not putting God in a box, but he does things. And Jesus died on Passover, right? There was a good earthquake on Good Friday. Jesus died with an earthquake. He was crucified again and rejected, and there was a great earthquake on a Good Friday, just like we had the Alaskan earthquake. He was resurrected by an earthquake, and we're looking for one in California. So he was in the bowels of the earth preaching to souls in prison between two earthquakes. I kind of think maybe there might be an earthquake that coincides with the rapture. It doesn't have to be that way. I'm just saying I can see scripturally that it could be that way. California. We live in the hour. He told us back then that, well, we're not quite in that cycle, but it's moving that way. You know what? I think we're in that cycle now.
Amen.
Right? I think we're in that cycle. So we need to have high expectations and be ready every hour. And this system is so bent at making it where we're not ready. And I know as a child of God, Satan can't defeat you. I don't care if you do make mistakes. He'll take care of you and correct you and get you back on your feet again. It's like Brother Tim said, we know we fail. We make mistakes. Thank God for catching us. It's not that we desire to make mistakes, but Satan's got every trick in the book he throws at us every day. That's why I do believe when we get over there and people say, what church age did you come out of? You tell them Laodicea, they're going to just, oh my word, how did you ever do it? with all this stuff that Satan's throwing out, ever divisive, everything he can come up with.
Uh-huh.
And so we want to use the right tools. And I'm very serious about this, but now what we're fixing to do might seem a little comical, and we might have a little fun with this, okay? But I'm very serious. We belong in the class of nobility. And there's things that we will not, should not allow in our lives and in our thinking. And there's a way we should deal with things when Satan comes our way.
Right.
And so, I don't know. I got some props up here. And we're going to try and show some things here. And you've heard it, but maybe just to act it out in just a little bit of a form to show you physically how simple this is and what we've got to do. And so, you got to use the right tools, right?
Yes, sir.
And so, I want to ask Malachi if he'll come up here. And I just found these things laying around. Now, I got a couple of tools here. Let me get over here away from that speaker. I got a screwdriver. I got a pair of scissors. This is how simple it is. Now, I've got this piece of paper, and I need this piece of paper cut in half. Would you pick up a tool and cut this paper in half with it? What do you pick up? Picked up a pair of scissors. Look how easy it is for him to cut that. I want to ask you a question. Why didn't you use the screwdriver? Because it wouldn't work, would it? He used faith, not reason. When Satan says, God don't love you, why do you pick reason when that's the wrong tool? The right tool is faith.
Yes, sir.
Right? It's that simple. But he somehow tricks us to spend our whole day long using this, trying to figure out how we can get the promises of God to happen and come to pass in our life.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? This is what we've got to go to. And this has nothing to do with our performance. Has nothing to do with anything that we could ever do or not do, except just believe. God knew that I was going to fail him every day. That's why he took my failures out of the equation. He knew that you would fail him every day. And that's why in the true plan of salvation, he took your failures out of the way. It's not part of the equation to see whether or not you're saved or not. Do you believe? Do you have faith in his promise? And that's it. That's all there is to it.
Amen.
And if you do, God will come and give you the blessings that you have need of and what he has promised to you. Now I need a couple more volunteers. I'm going to ask this young man again. I hope he can do this. Come here. You're going to be David. All right? See, that's not too bad, Elisa. Now I need somebody that's going to be Goliath. Somebody really big and mean. You want your brother to do it? Okay. Alright, come over here. Alright. You're going to stand over here. And guess what? You're Goliath. You're the big mean guy. Right? And your job is to attack him. Right? You're a lot bigger than him. And he doesn't stand a chance against you, right? Right? You know the story, don't you? He doesn't have a stand against you. Like, you know, the scripture said that Saul was head and shoulders above all the rest of the guys in Israel. So here's Israel, and here's a great big leader standing out there, and he's a chicken. Because him and all his people is afraid of Goliath. And then this little bitty fella who had been walking with God on the backside of the desert with his sheep, he came and saw what was happening. And the Spirit of God struck his heart and said, you know what? let that Philistine, uncircumcised Philistine, defy the armies of the living God.
Right.
He didn't want to do that. So, Malachi, you know what this is?
Faith.
You know what this is?
Reason.
You know what reason is? This is why I was wondering. So, reason is where you try to figure it out yourself. Okay? So, here's the tools that you have. You have faith and you have reason. And Goliath is going to come at you to try and destroy you with sickness. He's not if he's not going to hold it. But okay, so hold that up. He's going to come at you. Now, I want you to pick which one of them tools that you think you should use when he tries to come at you and afflict you with sickness. Okay? You're going to go after him or are you just going to stand there? Go rough him up. But see, with faith, he picks up faith, right? So faith destroys sickness. That's that simple. Come back here, Goliath. Here's another one. Start adding with that. Financial problems. You hold your faith up. That's your shield of faith, right? You stick it up there. So you see what I'm saying? Come back over here. I'm not trying to be forceful, but I want to get through this so we don't take it. Here's a wayward child. He puts his faith up there. How come you're not using reason? Because reason don't work. Okay. All right, we got one more. We all live in troublesome times. And we need a body change. We need a rapture. How are you going to combat that need? Same way, you're going to combat it with faith.
Yes.
Right? It's that simple. It's the simplicity of the gospel. We just have to cast down those things and say it the way the word says it. So when Obama or whoever it is that comes after God's people, don't worry about it. Right? Don't worry about it. You do all you know to do to stand in this life. You can have that if you want. You can put it down there. I know you don't want to keep that thing. Let's give the Lord a hand for our young people. And so, see how simple it is. We each have Goliaths that come our way. And they bring all kinds of stuff. He brings all kinds of things to us. And they all look big to us. And if we use the thinking and we use reason, they'll all look big to us. Right? But if we use faith, we don't have to be big. We just have to give it to the hands of the one who is.
Right.
That's all we have to do. Just commit it to him. You know what? I'll even say this. You don't, faith doesn't even have to be around. We don't, faith doesn't, I have to figure it out, say this. I don't have to still be here on this earth to see God bring to pass and save my children. I'm going to commit it to him. And even if I'm not here, if I go by way of the grave, I don't care what it is. My faith will stay here on this earth and see to it that that happened because God has promised it in his word and that will happen. And I don't have to sit here and see it because we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith.
Amen.
We commit the thing to God and walk the way we're to walk and we leave it in his hands. And so he comes at us with everything in the world, but we just put it right back on him. Right?
Amen.
Make him have the headache when he tries to give you one. Make him have the stomach ache when he tries to give you one. So you see, now back to the quotes and things. For Goliath to come at us with sickness and for us to sit around and worry about it, you are thinking with the lower class thinking. You're not thinking with the class of nobility.
Right.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? A class of nobility uses what they've been taught because the way they've been raised and what they've been taught is what has given them the character to rule. So they're not going to sit around and address this king who's coming to battle. They're not going to sit around and use the common people's thoughts and thinking to figure out how to save themselves. It's beneath us. Right? Sickness is beneath us. Doubt, worry is beneath us. It doesn't belong in the thinking process of the believer.
Amen.
And so we find out that we are royalty, we are nobility, and these things don't belong in our midst. So cast them down, right? Cast them down. I want to read Psalms 27. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I know one of these days we'll meet for the last time. One of these days the Bible will be closed for the last time. And these are the scriptures that Brother Branham read in the rapture. We've talked about this before. But when Brother Branham, of all the scriptures in the Bible that he could have used for rapture text, this is what he chose. And you have to ask yourself, why did he choose that? Why did the Holy Spirit lead him to these scriptures? And what message is conveyed out of these scriptures to us? And I can tell you what it is. It is a message conveyed to us to give us faith in the hour that rapture is ready to happen. The body change already happened. Because the conditions that are described in this scripture is exactly the conditions we're going to be confronted with at the time of our body change. This is what it's about. And so he wants you to be versed with this. The Lord is my light. Not Facebook, not government programs, not school, not nothing that the world has to offer. The Lord is my light. Am I going to walk in darkness? No. Because the Lord is my light. He is my salvation. And because he's my light and my salvation, who shall I fear?
Right.
What's there to be afraid of? Satan wants you to be afraid. We read the headlines, it's troubling and all that, and we all process it with our thinking, but all that should give way, cast out, give way to faith. Right? So yeah, we read, we talk about, we even share things, we talk about what's going on, but it's the idea there is so that you're aware of what's going on, but that can be give way and you can cast that down to your faith in this right here. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. So if he's the strength of your life, who should you be afraid of? Right? You know what the devil will try to tell you? You got a system, a regime out here, and we know that tribulation's fixing to set in. And millions upon time, millions are going to be martyred and tortured and you name it. And Satan wants to tell you, well, you know what? They've been martyring. You call yourself a Christian, and they've been martyring and killing people all over the world over there by the hundreds of thousands in the last few years. What makes you think that God's going to take you out of here in a rapture and you're not going to go through that? You know, does he ever tell you that? Does he tell you something like that? And so, well, because we're the bride. Because the first time in history, God has delivered to us the full word of God. A vindicated message that makes us bride. And for the first time on the earth, that's been delivered to his people in its fullness, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And for the first time in history, there's a people here who believe it.
Right.
And the revelation says that in that hour that we are anointed with the spirit of an eagle. With the wings of an eagle. We're not the calf to be martyred. We're not earthbound like the others. Right? We have the anointing of the eagle to rise up and fly away from these things. Right?
Amen.
So what do? When Satan says, what makes you think? I'll tell you why. Because I'm using the word. The word says the anointing of an eagle. This is the hour we live in. So it doesn't belong to my lot, see? And so Satan wants to come up and invade your thinking with things about, it won't work for me, it might somebody else, but cast it every bit down because you belong to Jesus Christ. So, let's go to the next verse. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up on me to eat up my flesh. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there any wicked out there that's out to get you?
Yes, sir.
Are they your enemies? Are they your foes? Are they coming after you? What's going to happen to them? They stumbled and fell. What's going to happen to your enemies? In this hour, this is rapture text. In this hour, when you've got enemies and they're coming after you, and you know they are, what's going to happen to them? They're going to stumble and they're going to fall. They might be successful at persecuting foolish virgins, but they're not going to be successful in carrying out their tyranny upon the bride of Christ,
right,
says the Word of God.
Right?
You might be right down to the last minute before God actually raptures our body. I don't know. It's up to Him. But faith don't care. Faith don't need to deceive. Faith doesn't need to look down the road and see, you know, the armor meat packing guy coming and we're standing there with our flowers waiting on him. Faith doesn't need to look down the road. Oh, so I see him. He's 4 miles away. Okay, I'm all right, you know, because I can see him. Chances are there was a big building standing in the way and it was only about 3 feet away and he'd come around the corner in his chariot right at the last second. The point is, faith does not need to see. Faith knows his promise.
Right.
And his promise, through a vindicated message, says that our enemies are going to stumble and they're going to fall. Let's go to the next verse. Though an host should encamp against me. How many enemies do you have? Pretty big. Millions and billions. Right? Anointed of evil spirits to carry out an evil agenda. A host. A host of them. Their purpose is to encamp around us, just like any warfare is to surround you and cut off your supply line so they can starve you out and come in and get you, whatever their tactics are. So a host is camping around us. But though that host will camp around me, though everything's going on the way it is, my heart shall not fear, and though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. During all that, I'm going to be confident. Right? Uh-huh. During all those things, I'm going to be confident. Because there's one thing that I desire. I'm not like the rest of the world out here that wants this and wants that and something else and everything else. There's one thing I have on my heart that I really want. What is it? Right there. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. There's one group of people on the face of the earth that truly wants the Lord.
Yes.
Because He's the Word and the rest of them have rejected Him. They don't want the Word. But we look at the Word and we see in Him as God is one God, and serpent has a seed, and no eternal hell. We look at all that, and we love it. The rest of the world looks at him and says, nonsense. I don't want nothing to do with that. But he is the Word, and he is the truth, right? And that's the one thing that's more important to us, should be, than anything else, that I can seek after that Lord, after the Lord. Seek after that revelation. Live in his presence. That's all I really want. I don't need nothing else. I don't need riches in this earth. I just want to dwell with him all the days of my life on this earth. I want to be in the presence of the Lord while I'm here. And I want to inquire in his temple. What is his temple? Well, it's a secret place. And guess who gets to go in that secret place? We get to go into that place,
yes,
and see and behold his beauty. And so let's go to the next verse, please. For in a time of trouble, there it is again, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The secret of his tabernacle. I'm going to say it this way. The secret of his revelation.
Yes.
That's what's going to hide us. What our minds have been filled with under this special tutor, because we're a special people, right? Our mind has been filled with, thus saith the Lord, a teaching and an understanding that the common people don't have. And that's what is before us. And that's how we're going to react to circumstances. And when all the armies rise up and come against us, that's the way we're going to think. And that is the word of God, and that is faith. That's how we're going to respond each day. That's what we're going to seek after, is a revelation of the Lord. And that's a secret place. And that's the very thing that's going to hide us and keep us and protect us. If we bow down and we start walking the streets with the common people, then we're not going to fulfill this. That's what the message of the hour has told us all along. We've got to separate ourselves from the things of the world and stay true to this word.
Yes.
And when we do that, it's that word that will hide us within this secret place when these armies come after us. Anybody understand that? This revelation, this token message is what we have to be behind. And when it does, it'd be just like the armies coming after Elijah or Elisha, and they get blinded. And they walk right down there. Says the prophet says, are you looking for me? Basically what he's saying. They're, yeah, we're looking for Elijah. Let me take you where he's at. And he leads them right into ambush. I mean, that's the story.
Uh-huh.
Leads them right into ambush. He blinded them. In the days of Sodom, they were blinded. You see what I'm saying? So God is all about blinding the eyes of the wicked and opening the eyes of the believer.
Right.
And letting them see. And so this is what we seek after, and this is what's going to happen. And so when God moves in with his rapture, and all these things happen, and he comes in and he hides us in the secret of his tabernacle, and all this terrible stuff's coming after us, and he comes in and he gets in there and protects us from it and gives us a body chain. And even if we're here, he protects us. When all that's happening, what are we going to do? And now my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You talk about entering into praise and joy and worship.
Uh-huh.
Right? When he puts his, he moves us into that tabernacle, into that place, then it's at that time that it'll be thoroughly declared that we're lifted up above all of our enemies.
Yes, amen.
Right? When that happens, Satan's going to know that she's the bride. Right? We'll be lifted up above all of our enemies. In other words, all of our enemies will be put down, and we'll certainly rejoice and sing praises to our God when that happens. Do you believe it?
Amen.
I do. I appreciate the Lord and his goodness to us.
Yes.
To send us his word. And not that any one of us is anybody great. I know that's not something that we think about, but actually spend our time thinking about how we're not. But by his, as we read in the scriptures to begin with, we are a people that at one time had not obtained mercy.
Right.
But now we have obtained mercy. And you don't feel like it most of the time. You don't feel like a holy nation, right? A royal priesthood. You don't feel that way. But the word says you are. If you've given your heart to the Lord and he's got you and he's tutoring you with the word and he sent you Malachi 4 and you're caught up in what we call the message of the hour, if that's truly working in your heart, then you are that people. You are a peculiar people, peculiar to the rest of the world, but not peculiar to God. You're peculiar to the rest of the world, but you are the only ones on this earth that can truly show forth praises unto our God.
Yes.
The rest of them don't know how to do it, right? Brother Branham mentioned this. I heard him say it yesterday. He said, what happened? He said, how did he say that? And when they went to battle, he said, the first thing that happened that went forth was the singers. When we come into the church, we sing.
Yes.
He said, the next thing that went forth was the Ark of the Covenant, which is the Word. What's the next thing that goes forth in the Word? Right? He showed that the pattern of going to battle is exactly the way we come to the house of the God, the way we go into his presence with singing and singing praises and his word, right? We go to battle, and so his word is the thing that takes us on into battle and teaches us, and you understand what I'm trying to say, the process. So we enter into his praises with his presence with singing and praising, and then we let the word come, right? And we can certainly, after the word is done with us, well, then we can really rejoice in victory, right? Because the victory comes after that. And so we certainly want to do that. And he feels like David, right? Not reason, but with faith.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to make the devil do anything. You just have to have faith. God will do the rest.
Amen.
So we thank the Lord for his goodness. We'll let the musicians come and bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we get ready to come to the end of this service now, the word having gone forth, Lord, to teach your people and to tell them, Lord, who they are, we pray, Lord, that you would just allow them to totally receive what was given this morning. Lord, that it would absolutely transform their faith into a super faith. Lord, we realize that we live in a tremendous hour. So, Lord, there's great victory for your people ahead. And I just commit your people to you this morning, Lord, knowing that each time we come together, it may be the last time. And I pray, God, that you would just anoint us in such a way that we would utilize our time efficiently, Lord. Redeem the time for the days of evil. That when we can be together, that we can come and be together and not shirk our responsibilities. Lord, that we can take that and we can gain as much from it, trusting that in that hour, in that great momentous time, Lord, that we will all have within our experience that which we need. We ask, God, that you would do that. Help us stay in the Word, Lord. Stay with our minds focused upon you. Let not the enemies come and move up into the palace of heavenly places and try to pervert our thinking, Lord. I pray that you would just anoint us to recognize the enemy when he comes in, to cast him out of our presence because he belongs not in the house of the redeemed. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us this morning. And ask that you go with your people now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us all stand and sing this song, Brother Tim's got.
This is the evening time. It's later than any day. The bride is preparing now for her Lord to meet. All things are ready now. The we'll be right back.
How many has an ear to hear?
Yes, amen.
Did you notice it didn't say ears to hear? Singular, one ear to hear the voice of the word. Saints, it don't get any better than to hear the voice of the word. It doesn't get any better than that. My sincere prayer is that there's not anybody in this assembly who doesn't hear that voice. My desire is that each of you hear that voice loud and clear. You may not see everything that Brother Tony, Brother Daniel speaks about, but if you see one thing, and something in your heart pricks you and tells you that's truth.
Yes, sir.
You hang to that truth as much as you can. Because God will take that like a seed, and He'll plant that in your life.
Right.
And He'll make you victory over great things. If you'll just hold what you do see, you may not understand everything there is about the mysteries and all that. But if you'll just stay true to the things that you know is right and that you can see, just commit it to God, and He'll take the rest of it. And I say that for our young people, because I don't know, you know, we don't know what levels they're at in Revelation, but I know that the same Holy Spirit can speak to us as grown people speaks to the hearts of our young people. And the same thing that saves us, the same faith, the same pathway that God gives us victory, is there for them too. I want you to pray for our young people, our little ones. Some of them are in public school, some are not in public school, but they all face devils. They all face accusing voices.
Yes, sir.
That try and tell them this and tell them that. But I just want to ask our young people, when Satan comes to you and tells you something contrary to the word, would you cast it out, please? Would you tell him it's written? Amen? Cast it away. Fill your mind with the word of God. Amen. I don't want to linger much longer, but if perhaps, I don't expect this to be our last time, but if perhaps it was, I just want to tell you, I'll see you. Ain't nothing they can do to us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So no matter what you hear, no matter what happens, I'll see you on the other side.
God bless you. This is the evening time. It's late.